Number three, Genesis chapter number three. It's going to be a little bit of a different type sermon this morning. I have a lot of things that God's kind of laid upon my heart and interested in hopefully accomplishing what I think he wants us to hear, and we'll see what happens. So it wasn't until Friday where I knew I was going to be preaching, you know, three different times, and I was praying. I said, Lord, you know, what is it? And usually you prepare throughout the week. So I was been praying, and Lord, give me what you want me to preach about. And it wasn't a problem finding the topic. You know, the Bible's filled with those. It's finding the topic I think God has laid upon my heart to be able to present to you, because we want the Lord to be in it, obviously. And he's put so many different things in there. Hopefully it'll make sense in the end. But we're going to throw a lot of things at you this morning, and hopefully you'll grab something, and the Lord will work in your heart one way or another. But thank you for being here this morning. As my wife just sang, we do need revival. And it's not about a meeting, you know that? It's just because we cannot have our special services on Monday night and Tuesday night, because we don't have a special speaker here today. We've been talking about what brings revival, and it's about those that are willing to humble themselves, those that are willing to turn from their wicked ways and seek after the Lord and pray and all those different things, and the high and lofty one. We've looked at a bunch of different things, and we might need it around the world, but we need it in our own hearts first. We need to let God work in our hearts, and the only way it's going to happen is if we let God work individually and in our families and then in our church's life and then in our communities and our states. The only way it's going to ever spread around the world is when we take it seriously for ourselves. So this morning's message is called Believing a Lie. Believing a lie. In Genesis chapter number 3, you see here the devil as a serpent comes up and he convinces Eve of a lie. I had an interesting conversation. Someone called my church, called the church here on Friday, I think it was afternoon. And first, let me say this. I'm not talking about people being racist or one certain race, but the individual who called me was being very racist. And they were very ugly about many things. They were hatred. And I listened to the individual, it was a lady, that for about 7 or 8 minutes, just go on and on and on. It's pretty much blasted every other race that she was not a part of, and just asked me what I was going to do about what our church was going to do about the shooting here. And I, just like I said, and I don't, they didn't say we're any part of any certain specific group, but this lady said that their race was the only one going to heaven, that they were God's chosen people, they were from Jacob, and there was a long list of different things that were going on. And I was amazed. I didn't get much chance to talk, and I actually just listened just because I it was kind of hard to hear what she was saying. I was getting plenty of it, but I don't know if she was trying to record it or if it was on speakerphone or what, and I didn't want to sit there and argue. And there's a couple of different times I was going to say something but never even had a chance to. All I got to really say was, I really can't understand what you're saying. Could you speak up a little bit? But after 7 or 8 minutes, she had asked me what race I was. And when I told her I was a white person, she asked if I was Caucasian. Boy, that just made things go worse. And like I said, no matter what race it is, inside each race there can be racism. And this person was doing something that was hateful and was ugly and was calling me prideful. I didn't even get a chance to talk, but I was prideful in our church that we preach and teach lies and all different types of things. And if I had a chance to ask her a question, I think the first question would have been, do you really truly believe what you're saying? I mean, because it's obviously, it's a lie. And they had bought into something that they had listened to, and it was a complete and utter lie. And I've seen people. We've watched people online. We've seen people that are racist online make bold statements, ugly statements about other races. And you're wondering, what are they doing? They're just trying to stir up trouble. Do they really, truly believe what they're saying? But I have never actually sat and listened to somebody, a person who spoke passionately and continued to speak passionately about this, and it just kept on getting worse and worse. It wasn't to the point that this race is the only race. This race is the Jewish race, even though they weren't Jews. This race was the ones that were sons of Jacob and were sons of Esau, and that we were prideful and that we need to do this and all. And it just kept on getting worse and worse. And I was thinking, maybe because of my silence, it was just getting her more and more upset. But I was thinking, do you really believe what you're saying? And at the beginning of the conversation, I was thinking about getting in the flesh and saying, you know, not, and arguing with the lady a little bit. But as the conversation went on, my heart got burdened for the woman, and my heart got burdened for those that just don't know the truth. Because all around the world, there's people that believe lies today. And there's sin out there. It's a sin problem. But just because this person was deceived with a lie that seems completely unreasonable to probably 98% of the people of the world, maybe even 99% of the people of the world, then you come over here to this other side, and there's a bunch of lies out there that's more acceptable to the world. But if it's a lie, it's a lie. If it's untruth, it's untruth. And I'm wondering today, are we believing a lie? Because I hear things and I see things, and truth is so valuable and truth is so important. Even when we consider the shooting that happened inside our community, that's what people are saying. Hey, we want the body cam footage. We want the truth. If you want the truth, then let the truth come out and let find out what the truth is. Hold people accountable that needs to be held accountable to. But truth is, the fact is that we should be willing to wait till what the truth really is instead of trying to cause issues and problems for those that are around us and causing people. And you can say or do what you want, and not trying to make this about a race. I'm making it about the fact that there was a person who called me on Friday that, unless she was just trying to rile a person up, if she truly believed the things she was saying, there's only less than 1% of the people that are going to heaven, and the rest of us have no hope. And that's just not true. And I want to encourage you today, make sure you're not believing a lie. Make sure you're not believing a lie. And so that's what we're going to throw at you today. Truth is so important. Even when Pilate was speaking to Jesus and they were having a conversation, Jesus was speaking truth. And Pilate says, "What is truth?" And that's what we need to understand. What is truth? And that's what we need to get behind. The Bible speaks a lot about truth. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it says, and the Bible also says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Even the Holy Spirit of God is called the Spirit of truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. This woman was calling upon someone who she called God, but I believe God loves all people. I believe God died for all races. That's not what this lady was saying. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Here in Genesis chapter number 3, we're just going to use this as a jumping off point and look at some different people who believed a lie and how it was destructive. Lies are doing a lot of destruction. When someone believes something that's untrue and they live off that untruth, it will cause so much havoc in our lives. I'm thankful that the Bible is truth. The Bible, even Jesus even talked about sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We can believe in that and we can trust in that. That is the second time that thing fell on my Bible today. It's time to get rid of it. So thy word is truth. So in Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve has already been given instruction by God, someone who they had met, someone they had walked with. And inside this passage of scripture, we see that the devil, the serpent, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And in verse number 1, it continues, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, here's the point, is that this lie that the devil is getting ready to say is something that he is trying to keep it as close to the truth as they can. The woman I talked to on Friday didn't try to keep it as close to the truth as they can. She just blew everything out of the water. And I was thinking, do you even truly believe that? Because the Bible talks about how people take the truth of God and they turn it into a lie. And that's where the issues and the problems that we are in today is that there are so many people, white, black, whatever the color is, Native American, Asian, and like I said, the person didn't care about which race. They had mentioned all the races but their race as being a problem and an issue in the world that we lived in. They came to this point that I said, do you truly believe what you just said? Because you've bought into a lie. I don't want to live my life believing a lie. I want to know what truth is. I want to know what absolute truth is. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. And that's what the Word of God says it is and what I believe it is and what it's been preserved as God's Word and its truth. It should be our ultimate authority, an absolute authority. If you go back and you look at surveys that's been done over the years, the numbers have dwindled to about 30% of people in the world today that believe that there's an absolute authority, that there's a moral authority. There's only about 30% of the people in the world today that would say, hey, there is something that is truth. There is something that we should live by. We are the minority. But the reality is, if it's true, it's true. No matter what a person says, no matter how a person feels, and they can be legitimate. I think she was sincere in her beliefs. I think she was trying to help me understand her beliefs because she had believed a lie and kept on compounding that lie and compounding the lie. And that's the problem with a lie is that you have to continue to tell yourself lies in order to consider the first truth to be reality. And that's where lies will take you down a road that you never thought would ever happen. And that's when you see here the Satan says, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The devil will come to you and will get you to try to question God. We know who God is. We know that God is good. We know that God has our best interest at heart. And it comes to the point he says, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the garden, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now the scriptures here does not reveal it in anywhere that God does not say when the instructions that that you could not look at it. Eve kind of had added that in there. Then you see in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. There's a lie there. It's against what God had said. And then he continued on, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so another lie there. He says, no, God's not telling you the truth. God is trying to take something away from you. If you do this, then you will experience something that you will never, ever experience any other way. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the tree thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So she believed the lie. She considered the lie. And sometimes it's dangerous to sit there and consider and listen to someone's falsehood. Sit there and listen to the deception of the devil. The Bible gives a description of the devil. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. These lies that people buy into, you say, well, they're harmless. No, they're from the devil. Whatever it is, whether it's a lie that would be rejected by society or a lie that would be accepted by society, it doesn't matter. If it's a lie, it's a lie, and it comes from the devil. And we need to be careful that we don't believe, that we don't catch a lie, and that we understand what truth is and believe truth and be willing to ask God or the Spirit of truth to lead us and guide us in all directions. We live in a day that's very uncertain, and especially in our community, not knowing what the next few days may happen. But we know one thing for sure. We need the truth. And the truth, the Bible says, will set you free. And it says, continues in Genesis chapter 3, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves up together and made themselves aprons. They believed the lie, and then they began at that moment in time to die. But death was passed upon all men because of this. And it's been passed down throughout the generations. We have a sin problem that now must be dealt with. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins of mankind, because of the sin problem, the sin issues that happened. Eve believed the lie. Adam partook of the fruit, and it's been passed down through the man ever since. Are you believing a lie today? Take your Bible to Jeremiah chapter number 7. So just from one sin that's been passed down, we've seen so many other sins. You can go through and you can look at all the different stories and all the different things that happened, the lies that were believed, the lies that happened. As you're turning through the Bible, you see characters and Bible characters over and over of people that truly believed a lie and led nations wrong ways and let those lies in order to damage themselves and damage their families and damage I think about Enoch and how Enoch made a decision and continued to go to have his tent pitched towards Sodom. And there, he didn't think there was going to be any problem. He believed a lie. And sooner or later, not only is his tent pitched there, he becomes a leader and a ruler. And then they're even captured, and Abraham saves him and brings him back through God's help. And he still doesn't want to get right. He continues to believe a lie. Here in Jeremiah chapter number 7, I as I was studying it, I looked at these verses and I thought they were appropriate. We're not going to spend a lot of time commenting on them, but it talks about a nation that believed a lie. The word is talking about the nation of Israel. Remember, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Jeremiah is the one that's where he is saying that destruction is coming, that they're going in bondage, you're going in slavery. He's preaching and teaching to repent and get right, but we don't see anybody really turn. We don't see really any converts here. We do know that there's other good people that love the Lord and believe God, but we don't see anybody turning from his message. And here in Jeremiah chapter number 7 said, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. He's saying, go to the temple, and at the temple I want you to be able to preach these words. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah. Now this is not Jeremiah just spewing his thoughts. This is the word of the Lord that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. He says, hey, look, if you'll change, if you'll amend your ways, if you'll change what you're doing, he says, I will allow you to stay, and you can continue to dwell here. Trust ye not, and look what it says, trust ye not in lying words. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk other gods to your hurt. He's saying, look, these are some lies that you believe on how to treat others, about the temple of God and about serving other gods. And verse number 7, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. He says, look, you have an opportunity here to make things right. The destruction, the bondage does not have to come. But he says, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. So you're trusting in a lie, and it's not going to profit you. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? They have convinced themselves that they are able to do these abominations. They have believed the lies so much that the things that go completely against what they had taught is okay. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now, my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And he said, look, same thing happened back here. You believed a lie, and now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rise up early and speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house which I called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have had done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Now there, he's saying there was the nation's destruction was coming. And why was it coming? It's because they believed lying words. I see it happening in churches all across our country. They're not using the Bible as their absolute authority. They're calling evil good and good evil. And we know about those places that where they say that wickedness is right. Light is darkness, and darkness is light. Go ahead and look in Isaiah. It's just a few chapters back in Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5, we have people that are saying this not only on the streets and not only in protests and not only inside of phone calls, but we have churches today that are calling right wrong and wrong right. It says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put light for darkness and light and light for darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Wow. You sit there and you look at that and you're saying there is people out there that call evil good and good evil. They lift up and justify those that are wicked in verse number 23, but they take away the righteousness. What is happening there? This is people that are believing a lie, and they're beginning to say that the lie is right and everything else is wrong. Truth is key. Now take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, you have a little bit of understanding why this is happening. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we'll actually, I think we'll begin in chapter number 3, at the end of chapter number 3. And we're just going to very quickly kind of go through this. Like I said, there's a bunch of passages of the scriptures today, but I want you to establish this fact. There are people out there believing a lie. There's people there have had their minds blinded by the devil, and they begin to call evil good and good evil, and they begin to do things and think that they're right and justified. They've justified the wicked man, but they call the righteous man evil. They call him wicked. They say that they're wrong. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, let's go ahead and we're going to start off, I think, in verse number 16. It says, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." I want you to see here, you don't have to believe a lie. That there is liberty in the Spirit of truth. There is liberty in the Spirit of the Lord. And as we're looking in that glass, as we look in the Bible and we see the glory of the Lord, God will begin to change us little by little into his image. We don't have to believe a lie. But it says, "Therefore," in verse number 4, "seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." We don't have to faint. We don't have to get discouraged. We don't have to throw in the towel. But instead have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. They're not putting up with lies. He's saying, look, we need to renounce those things that are dishonest. We need not to walk in craftiness. We need not to handle the word of God deceitfully. We need to keep the truth, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, that it's our responsibility denounce a lie and make sure we're handling the word of God according to what it's supposed to be. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It's not hid to us. We can know the truth. We can understand the truth, and we can become more like him little by little, as it talked about in verse 18. We do not have to faint. We do not have to put up with wickedness. We do not have to listen to lies. We have the truth, and we make sure that those that are deceitfully handing the word of God are those that we will renounce, and we'll say we want no part of it. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. And I think about that lady that called me. I think of a woman who was lost. As we learn in Psalms chapter 37, we need to diligently consider their end in their Sunday school class, in whom the God of this world, talking about the devil, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's saying, look, the devil's blinded the minds of them, and that the glorious gospel is the only thing that can change it. That's why he says in verse number 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." It's saying there that the only hope there is to those that are lost and to those that are blind is Jesus. And that's who we need to lift up, is Jesus. We're not preaching us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ, the Lord. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Christ Jesus." Saying that he, just as he shined light out of darkness, he shined it in our life, but also can shine it in those who it's hidden to and whose have been blinded. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, talking about us knowing, and it's found in earthen vessels. Our vessels will break, and they're weak, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're not going to be here forever. And even though we are weak, his light can shine through. His power can go through us. And then it begins to give a description. We are not troubled on every side. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down and not destroyed. And I love those phrases, because many times we feel like we're in trouble and it seems like trouble's all around us. We don't need to be distressed, though. It seems like we're perplexed by everything that's going on, but we don't have to be in despair. Yes, we may be persecuted, but God has not forsaken us. Yes, we may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. This is not the end. Instead, we do not have to believe the lies of the devil, because always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We have Christ that lives in us. If we're always bearing that about, and his life can be manifested through us in our own bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now, as Christ was rose, we will rise again someday. For all things are for your sakes, in verse 15, that the abundant grace might, through thanksgiving of many, redound the glory of God. Now look what it says in verses 16, 17, 18. For which cause we faint not. We've been through a lot. We've heard a lot. We do not need to faint. We've received the ministry in verse number 1. We've received mercy. We are able to go through this without fainting, even though we may be perplexed, even though we may be troubled, even though we may be persecuted, even though we may be cast down. We do not have to believe a lie. We do not have to faint. But though our outward man perish every day, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even though the outward man may seem like it's weaker day by day, we can continue to strengthen ourselves day by day, renewing the inward man. Now, I like this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us as far exceeding eternal weight of glory. The afflictions that we face today, they're such a short period of time compared to eternity. And those afflictions that we face have a much more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Even though it may be for a little while, it's something that we can rejoice in and let God work so we can make a difference in this world. While we look not at the things that which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So as we're supposed to focus on the things of this world, the answer is no. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. We need to make sure that our eyes are on those things that are eternal. We need to understand that the devil has blinded the eyes and minds of so many people today. And that individual who was filled with hate believed a lie. And how do I respond? I feel bad because she believes a lie. I hear the hate, and I hear and I see what people are saying. And I'm not saying that those are the people that are protesting. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that those are all the people on the other side of the window. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there is a world full of people that have had their eyes and their mind blinded by the devil, and the only thing that's going to help it is by preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I want to finish with just a couple of thoughts and try to apply a couple of things. I want to think about some lies that people believe. Some lies that people believe. We could put a long list there. I went and looked up some of the greatest lies of all history online. And if you Google it, some interesting things. Some of the things I wouldn't even agree with because of things that are being pushed. But the Trojan horse, the guys that were hidden inside the horse that went into the city, they thought that was a gift, but it wasn't a gift. Some of the greatest lies I think that have been told by Satan over the years. Number one, there's many ways to get to heaven. You know what? There's a lot of people that believe that. I remember listening to someone interviewing a famous movie star, and I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it might have been Jane Fonda, that said, well, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He says, well, that's who you say Jesus is. That's not who Jesus is to me. And then the there's people all across the world today that say, well, that's your way to heaven. I have my own way. I can get there my own way. That's a lie. People believe it, but it's a lie. It doesn't make it any truer just because more people say it. And as we become more and more the moral minority instead of the moral majority, we're going to be faced with asking to be, hey, will you believe this lie with me? Are you willing to compromise that? And the answer is no. There will never be another way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not on your way to heaven. There's also others that will say everyone will get to heaven on their own. They just have their own paths. That's a lie. There's those that will say there's nothing that happens to you after you die. That's a lie. There are those that will say God is just trying to take away your fun. That's just a lie. That's what happened with Eve when they're saying, hey, Eve, there's something better outside of God's perfect plan. That's a lie. But there's a danger in the world that we live in today because there's believers that believe lies also. There are people who believe things such as when the devil comes and says, you're not going to reap what you sow. Go ahead and sow whatever you want. But the scripture says you will reap what you sow. There are those out there today that says that God must be pleased with me. I remember I think I was probably 20, 21, I was teaching adult Sunday school class. Nobody else wanted to do it. I was part of the class. The guy left, and I was part of the class. And I remember teaching people that were like in their 60s, 70s, 80s. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sitting there, and this guy asked me a question, and he says, God must be really pleased with us. And he came to church a little bit in Sunday school, Sunday morning, didn't come too often, but he wasn't like he was a sold out guy. And I thought about what he said. He says, God must be real. I says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, we're not living wickedly. We're not out there living in sin. We're doing this, this, and this. And all the world has all these things to offer. And we're here in church on Sunday morning. He was commending himself. And I think it's good that you're in church on Sunday. And I began to think about that. And the heart was on my heart is, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I think there is a lot of believers today that has bought into the lie that just as long as I don't act like the world, then God must be really, truly pleased with me. But in all reality, if we're not living a life by faith instead of a life by sight, we're not pleasing God. And I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That if we truly want to please the Lord with our lives, we must learn to diligently seek him and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must learn to live by faith. And instead of saying, oh, God must be really pleased with me because I graced his presence by showing up in his house, don't believe the lie that, hey, we got a long way to go and we're working towards it. I want to encourage you today. You know, that lie that God must be pleased with my life because I don't act like the world. That was 25 years ago when that guy told me that. And I'm sure that guy's passed away since now. But 25 years ago, what was okay or what was not okay, it's okay now, according to the world. It's come into churches. It's whether or not you're living by faith is what's going to see whether he pleases you. Another lie that sometimes Christians believe is my sin does not affect others. Yeah, they believe that. Hey, I can sin. I only sin to myself. That's not true. Our sin affects others, our attitudes and things that we do. That my sin will remain secret and no one will ever find out. That's a lie. Someday we will stand before God. Everything will be open and it's always open and naked before him. He will always know. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. One last thing that's a lie. Is I can serve two masters. I can serve God and I can serve myself or manna. We believe that lie sometimes. I want to encourage you today. And like I said, I know tonight, this morning's sermon may be a little bit harder to follow than others. But as I listened to that lady talk, the Lord spoke to my heart about, man, she's been deceived. She's believing a lie. And even though, like I said, I believe 99% of the people of the world would reject what she was saying. I mean, as much hate. And she didn't just call here. I asked some of the other churches in the area that have friends that they called there too. For one of them was a man. And for me, it was a lady. I'm not sure who the other church was, whether it was a man or lady. And they said similar things and some even farther out things. There was, I don't know if they're calling churches to try to cause trouble or stir up things. That's for them to worry about. But I'm listening to this lady and the Lord gets kind of broke my heart thinking, even though she is really far out there, she truly believes what she's saying. And that even though she might not be 99% of the world agree with, there's a lot of people out there that agree with other false cults that are believing a lie, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, like the Mormons. They're believing a lie, Islam, what the Catholics teach. If they believe what the Catholics teach, you're not going to heaven. Now, there are some people that go to a Catholic church that says, hey, they're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, blah, blah, blah. If they believe what the Catholic church teaches, then they're not putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's not popular to say, but at the same time, it's truth that they truly believe what the Catholic church says. There's lots of different interesting things, but they're acceptable in the world. It's okay, I get it. They can believe what they want, but they're believing a lie. So what are we going to do? Are we going to get angry and fret, like we talked about in Sunday school? Or are we going to pray? The truth, the light that can shine through, is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as a point in time in your life, he shined in your heart, showed you the reality that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that you can cry out to him, and he will save you. He's made you that promise. It's the same truth that we can hold on today. Maybe he's speaking to your heart about your need this morning, that I've never been saved, not on my way to heaven. I've believed that I can wait till whenever I want to. I believed in many lies that everybody goes to heaven. I believed in lies that there's more than one way to heaven and that everybody gets to go to heaven. But they're lies. Whether acceptable in the world or, like I said, the individual I talk to, I believe 99% of the world will reject what they're saying. Doesn't matter if it's 99% or 90% or 5%. A lie is a lie, and we must stand for the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth will invigorate you. The truth is what can make the difference. It's what made a difference in our life when it comes to salvation. It's what can make the difference in our lives today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.